couple of things came across my screen this week. You've got a sheep there lazing in a deck chair, watching the telly with the radio going, earphones on, reading a book, and he's got his laptop on his knees, and he's wondering why he can't hear the shepherd anymore. So this is about listening prayer. You might find that I slip up and I'll talk about hearing prayer occasionally because I just get a bit muddled up. My strap line is, he is there and he is not silent. Would you just say that for me? He is there and he is not silent. Now, because it's Val's last day, I just thought I would do a little presentation for Val. So a little bit of wisdom of Pooh. "Say, Pooh, why aren't you busy?" I said. "Because it's a nice day," said Pooh. "Yes, but why ruin it?" he said. "But you could be doing something important," I said. "I am," said Pooh. "Oh, doing what?" "Listening," he said. "Listening to what?" "To the birds and that squirrel over there." "What are they saying?" I asked. "That it's a nice day," said Pooh. "But you already know that," I said. "Yes, but it's always good to hear that somebody else thinks so too," he replied. "So stop and take time to listen today. Despite the rain, it's a beautiful day." Now, that's what I want to hear, a little bit of amens, a little bit of response. Tom said I do a little bit of singing in the folk club, and I always like when the audience give a little bit of energy. So what I want to hear is a yes and amen, maybe a sort of hand in the air and a big amen. If you would like to deepen your relationship with Father God. Yes. Yeah, okay, that's not bad. How about if you would like to your walk with Jesus to become an adventure with Jesus? Yes. Although you're a little bit more enthusiastic. And how would you like to make your faith fun? Okay, I've just turned 70, I've just had my 70th birthday, and I would say that over the 42 years, we came to this church in 77, I think, over those years, faith has been fun, walking with Jesus has been an adventure, and certainly I've deepened my experience of God, and I want to share that with you in hopes that I might impart something to you. So if we could have the next slide, please. I'm going to very quickly go through some Bible references. Yeah, next one. Please, Alan. Don't bother to take notes. I can send this to you. I'm going to go probably too fast. The first time we see God speaking is Genesis 1, verse 2. He said, "Let there be light." Okay, the next time he speaks to a couple of other people, but the one I've pulled out is when he speaks to Abraham in Genesis 12. And he tells Abraham to leave, Abraham as he's called then, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a country that I will show you." And I've said that that's really significant because do you know what? Abraham was 75 years old when he made that journey. Next slide. I did say I was going to go very fast. I apologize for this, but it's really important just to set out that this is not about a wacky New Age stuff. This is about biblical hearing God. Exodus 3, verse 4, you've got the well-known story of Moses and the burning bush. The burning bush, Moses goes over to the burning bush. He's not seen anything like that before. When he gets there, the voice says, "Moses, Moses," he says, "here I am." And he's told to take off his sandals for he's on holy ground. Just a quick aside, when we hear the voice of God, whether it be corporately in our worship or singularly, when we hear the voice of God, please, please, please be filled with awe and reverence and take off your shoes. Because you are standing on holy ground. And next one, please. Yes, I've included this one because it's really interesting. Saul goes to find some donkeys. His father sends him out. He's quite young in this point of the story. His father sends him out to find some donkeys. They don't find the donkeys. The servant says, well, why don't we go and consult the seer in the town and he will help. Now, we are told in this verse that the seer is the early name for a prophet. And I've just included it because there's a very narrow, fine divide between seeing something from the Lord and hearing something from the Lord. And very often we see and then we interpret. I've included the last reference here, 1 Samuel 16:12. Samuel meets David. The Lord said, rise and anoint him, he's the one. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came on David in power. Okay, there's lots more besides, of course. We go on, next one, please. Major, minor prophets, Isaiah, Amos, three instances of God's audible voice in the Gospels. Peter hears the Lord in Acts. Philip hears the angel in Acts. Saul or Paul, whichever name you prefer, hears the Lord in Acts. John then writes a whole revelation about what the Lord says. And it makes me ask a question, why? With all this speaking that goes on in Scripture, why do we spend so much time in church discussing God, singing about God, hopefully to him, asking, requesting, interceding, petitioning God, but so little listening to the Father, listening to him? I want to tell you a little story. This goes back to probably 1978. We were in the old building. Put your hands up if you can remember the old Sale Baptist Church, right? And you remember how it was quite a high roof and windows all around. That's significant in this story. Mike Beaumont, the pastor there, used to have occasionally on the Sunday morning times of open prayer. It was never very quiet because there were a number of significant prayer warriors in the church. Ralph and I were just remembering names just a little bit earlier on. People like Jill and Ray Jones and Ashley Troke and people like that, and Derek and Barbara Holt, of course, who could be guaranteed to pray. And a few weeks before, I've been convicted by Revelation 3:16, which says, you are neither hot nor cold. I'm going to spit you out in my mouth. And so I've requested full baptism, even though I'd been christened and confirmed. I wanted to be passionate for the Lord. So I've asked for baptism, and I'm thinking, right, I'm going to get involved in this open prayer thing. I can do this. I've got a loud voice. So a point comes up, open prayer, and there's a space. And so thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you, Lord, for all the people in the church. Thank you, Lord, for the love in the church. Thank you, Lord. And I'm starting to run out of ideas. And I open my eyes, and I look up, hoping that heaven might tell me something. And through the windows at the top of the church there, I could see the tops of the trees waving quite wildly because it was really, really windy outside. And I found myself saying, and Lord, would you blow through the church as the wind is blowing through the trees? Will you take out all the dead leaves and all the dead branches, and will you bring new bud to fruit, new twigs? Amen. And we file out at the end of the service, shake the pastor's hand at the door, as was protocol then, and the pastor reaches across and said, that prayer, I think it was prophecy. Now, I didn't know what prophecy was, so I went home straight away and started looking through my Bible and looking up, and I found Jeremiah. This is a real key passage for me. Could we have the next slide, please? Now, Jeremiah, in chapter 1 of Jeremiah, it tells you how he gets called to be a prophet. And the Lord says to Jeremiah that before he was born, he was called to be a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah says, no, that can't be right. I'm only a child. I'm only a youth. And the Lord says, Jeremiah, what do you see? Now, I don't know whether he saw a real almond tree or whether he saw a virtual almond tree in his sanctified imagination. But his answer is a branch of an almond tree. And the Lord said, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Now, in my NIV at that time, it had a little footnote at the bottom, and it said the word watching and the word almond are very, very similar. So that first prophecy of this Jeremiah, who's going to come to write scripture, who's going to be prophet to the nations, the first prophecy was just a little play on words. And it was about a tree, which intrigued me. It's a bit like if the Lord says to Linda Fenney, where's Linda? She's there. He says, Linda, what do you see? And Linda says, oh, that's an easy one. I'm a biologist. It's an oak tree. And the Lord says, yes, Linda. You are oaks of, you and your husband are oaks of righteousness. It's a little bit like if the Lord says to Phil, Phil, what do you see? And Phil says, I think that's a poplar tree. And the Lord says, yes. Tell my people it's better to be godly than to be popular. Do you see the play on words? And that is a legitimate way of hearing the Lord's voice. Next slide, please, Alan. Some strategies. The first one is important. It's based on this verse from Psalms. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Would you just like to say that for me? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Now, we have all been to school where the curriculum is based on a Greek pattern. That is to say, if you're talking about mountains and rivers, that's going to be geography. If you're talking about sculpture and painting, that's going to be art. And if it's kings and queens, then it's history. If it's God, then it's religious studies or RE or scripture or whatever it happens to be called at that time. And we evangelicals suffer from that a little bit, because I don't know what happens in your house, but what could happen in my house is that I could get up a little bit earlier in the morning than I perhaps need to. I go downstairs. I got my Bible there by my chair. I've got my devotion book, Every Day with Jesus, or whatever it is you use. You open your Bible. You read through the prescripted Bible passage. You read through your devotion material. You perhaps have a little bit of a prayer list. And you snap it all shut at a certain time, maybe 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And then the day starts. Is that right? You then say, right, let's get some children taught. Let's get some action. Let's hit the day. But you know, that's so unbiblical. That's so unchristian. And probably you're not likely to hear a lot from the Lord in those times. But if you walk with him during the day, then things can be very different. We are programmed to decode pictures. Could we have the next slide, please, Alan? Okay, it's not come out very well. I did wonder how it would be. You've basically got the sea of poppies that were positioned outside the War Museum. I don't know, was it last November time, yes? And every single person here, I'm pretty convinced, could tell a little story about that. It might be, in my case, my grandfather was in the battle in the Somme, and he suffered mustard gas and was invalided out. And for years and years after that, he suffered from a chronic chest condition. It could be that you can remember, what was it, 37 million people died in the First World War. It's a huge, huge, huge number. But we could all have a story to tell. We can all decode that just from a picture of a few glass or metal poppies. And therefore, we can all decode little pictures that we see during the day. For example, strategy two. Next slide, please. Wisdom cries in the marketplace. Do you know that verse? Wisdom cries in the marketplace. Jesus didn't spend most of his time in synagogues. That's a surprise, isn't it? Where did he do his teaching? On the lakeside, talking to the fishermen. On the mountainside. And in the streets and in the marketplaces. And that's where he is now. And if we open our eyes, we can find him. If I had time, I could tell you lots of stories about how Father God helped me, intervened in various school situations, even to the point of giving me the prompting me to apply for a new examination board, and that raised our exam results significantly. I can tell you about that another time. Your imagination is so useful. If you have been chosen by God, sanctified by him, filled with the Holy Spirit, your imagination is sanctified. George Bernard Shaw, when he was writing the Joan of Arc play, has the interrogators questioning Joan of Arc. And when she responds as to how she hears God, they say, ha, 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 that's all in your imagination. And Joan calmly looks at them and says, yes, that's how God speaks to me. Is your imagination sanctified? Are you wired in to hear him? Don't look for God in the spectacular. Elijah did. He was there on the mountainside, and what was it? A huge wind that seemed to be breaking the rocks apart, he couldn't hear God speak. And then there was an earthquake, and he expected to hear the voice in that, and it didn't happen. And then there was a fire, and he expected to hear the voice in that. And then when the fire died down, all that cleared, he heard the still, small whisper. Are you making time in your day to hear that whisper? One final strategy is don't look for God in the places where there's riches and embellishments. Very often the glory is under badger skins. This is the reference that Bob Mumford once preached. I remember this so vividly. It's about the Ark of the Covenant being transported, but it was covered with simple, common, smelly animal skins. Well, maybe they weren't smelly, but it was very simple. There was nothing glorious. They weren't woven tapestries or anything. It was just plain animal skins. And it's always sort of caused me to look for God in the simple and stuff that is common. Okay, we'll go on to three checks. Three checks, please. So can we just turn a couple of slides there, please, Alan? Next one. Can we go to the next one? Yeah, three checks. Okay, so if you have a picture from the Lord and you put some words to it, you think you decode that, you reinterpret that, you need some checks to make sure that you are not being misled. Okay, so three checks. These are very easy to remember. Number one, does it comply with Scripture? Just say that for me. Does it comply with Scripture? Yeah? Number two, does it edify the church and believers? And number three, does it sound like the character of our loving heavenly God? If it doesn't, then leave it. If it doesn't satisfy every one of those criteria, leave it. because that is the test for prophecy, and that is the test for you hearing God. But be prepared for God to have some fun. I want to tell you a little story of something that happened just a few weeks ago. I'm sat down there at the back in my sort of usual area. It's bad when you keep sitting in the same seat, isn't it? But it's convenient. It saves me thinking about it. I'm sat down there and we're in the worship. I think Rich was leading worship and it was going really well and I was enjoying it. And suddenly I see across the stage wisteria hanging down. My mind's imagination, see this wisteria. And going up the sides, I see clematis. And I think, that's weird, that's strange. I wonder what it means. And then all across the stage, there's shrubbery. It's very, very, very nice. We're coming to the end of the song, and I think, okay, I don't know what it means. Leave it. And then Rich starts another song. I think, oh. And the picture's still quite vivid in my mind. So I come down and Zoe's sat on the front, Zoe's leading. So I say, Zoe, I've got this picture. And she said, yes, what is it? So I said, well, wisteria and clematis, didn't I? And shrubbery. And she says, what does it mean? And I looked a bit sheepish and I said, I don't know. She says, Emma. So Emma Barclay-Watt comes over. She says, Paul's got a picture. Wisteria, clematis. You're getting the picture now, yeah? Wisteria, clematis, shrubbery. And Emma says, what does it mean? Don't know. So, Nick Matthews is over here. Nick! So Nick slides over the seats. Nick, Paul's got this picture. Do I need to go through it again? No, you've got the general idea. And so Nick's just getting to, I mean, by this time, a lot of time's gone on, and we're getting to the end of the worship song, and Nick's about to go on and speak. So he's not ever so pleased to be interrupted. So he says, what does it mean? I said, I don't know. He said, go back and wait on the Lord for the answer. So I sheepishly go back to my seat, and nothing happens. I don't hear anymore. Next day, I'm walking at home, and I've walked down to get it by a newspaper, and I'm walking back through the park, and just as I hit the park, I hear that still small voice. That picture, the wisteria and the clematis, says the Lord. Tell the older people that I'm weaving laurel wreaths to fit on their heads because they have run a good race. I think, oh, that's nice. I qualify. I'm just 70 now, so I qualify. And then he said, and tell the young people that I'm weaving garlands of flowers to put round their necks. And wherever they go in my name, they will be received. Oh, well, I like that. Great. So I get home. I email Zoe. I email Emma. I email Nick. And the next week, I'm in over in Heald Green. And we're in worship. And I've asked Eunice if I can say this. People may know Eunice. She's relatively new at Heald Green. Eunice stands up in the worship. She says, I've never done this before, but I can see clematis. And I don't know what it means, but the Lord says somebody here does know what it means. And Nick sort of looks over at me with a great grin on his face. And Eunice is an older lady, and so I can say, the Lord is putting laurel wreaths on your head. You have run a good race. And then last week, you had Meg Smith standing up here. Do you remember listening to her and talking about her time in, where was it, Nepal she went to? And then the Buddhist temple. And they'd upset the guy with the prayer bowls. And then she started to talk to him. And he relaxed. And I think he just smelt the aroma of Jesus from the perfume, from the garland of flowers around their necks. I would like you to pray for the young people now. Can we do that? Zoe's asked us. Let's just pray for the young people now. I would like you to close your eyes and use, please, your sanctified imagination. I don't know, Phil, whether you could just come up and your guitar and just play a few chords. That would be really nice if you felt you could do that. I want you to use your sanctified imagination, and I want you to picture our young people with the garland of flowers around their necks, you know, Polynesian style. And I want you to smell the roses, so to speak. And as you're picturing them, I want you to pray for them. Will you pray out loud? Pray God's blessing on those young people. Pray that they would be free to communicate the gospel. Pray for them out of that picture that we've just had. Please pray now. Pray. Let's just hear a little hubbub of prayer over throughout the room. Lord, we want to pray for these young people, every single young person who's going in your name to Albania. We pray now that their training course would be useful and successful and give them loads of confidence. But we pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and fill them with a special confidence from heaven, with Father God's confidence. You would fill them to overflowing, full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Lord, would you please cause them to have the aroma of Jesus wherever they go, whoever they talk to, whether it's clean places or dirty places, high places or low places. Lord, let them carry the gospel in full integrity in your name. Amen. Amen. I was walking this week. Can we go to the picture of the bird flying, please, Alan? I was walking this week and just praying about this morning. And I saw this picture. I saw the kestrel hovering. And I thought, that's nice. Lord, would you hover over the congregation this morning? The next day or day after, I can't remember now, I went on a similar walk, and guess what I saw? Kestrel hovering. I said, Lord, I think this is you speaking. This morning, I believe I can sense the Holy Spirit hovering over us. He's speaking to your sanctified imaginations. I believe he's communicating pictures already. Went out with a group of 20 people on Friday morning, and we were walking along on Stretford Meadows. And I was too busy chatting. But for no reason, one lady came up, she said, did you see